Hi, today is May 14th, 2023. This is Mold Views Podcast 459. I'm Todd Ogasa Ward, my good friend, the good Dr. John Westfall, and our other two good friends and frequent guest panelists, Finn Johansson and Don Sorcinelli. Hey, fellas, how you doing?
I'm good.
And to all the fives of moms out there listening to this podcast, happy Mother's Day. It is Mother's Day. So hope you have a great one or are having a great one. Okay, before we get to Google I.O., which happened this past week, I just want to get to one thing. And it's not so much a product itself as how they're pricing it. And that's Apple's Final Cut Pro and Logic Pro are now available for the iPad. But instead of being a single purchase price like the macOS version, it's a subscription, which means, well, I don't know what it means, but I don't like it. But I get it. I understand why they're doing it. I just don't like it.
It means it's like they're figuring out that you can get money after money after money, just like car manufacturers and
Microsoft offices
and everybody else.
Yep. I just paid my $100 recently. Auto paid for Microsoft Office. It was something I swore I would never do when they started Office 365 subscriptions. But here I am, year after year, they get my $100.
The only group of people that are not putting annual subscriptions and microtransactions in apps are people like us writing apps. I was looking on iOS recently, and there were a couple of network utilities that I'm sure have an audience of maybe fives of people that would actually be interested in them. They don't have any sort of microtransactions. They don't have any fees. If they're a paid app, it's a one-time payment. So yeah, it's literally our demographic. They're the only ones that are not doing this.
Basically, it's a dying breed.
Yes.
But at any rate, so I am definitely not a Final Cut Pro target audience. So, you know, I might have considered Logic Pro if it had been a single flat fee or, you know, single flat fee with a nominal annual fee, like, I don't know, $10 a year or something. Something ridiculous. Oh, I'm getting crosstalk somewhere. Interesting.
No, for some reason, I have an Echo Show sitting in front of me, and it decided to say something. I have no idea why.
You know, the AI are starting to rule
the
world.
What it said was, how do English teachers get married and exchange vowels?
That's pretty random.
John, have you been putting on... No, I'm thinking that this is the only way that AI ever thought that it could infiltrate us. It's with these jokes. Yeah, I don't know. Good try, AI overlord. But I don't think we're going to devote more than 5 minutes of this conversation to you.
Yeah.
Well,
but yes. At any rate, I don't think you guys are Final Cut Pro and Logic Pro target demographic either, but I just wanted to bring it up because I'm just really unhappy with subscriptions in general. I mean, I remember when somebody told me about Netflix, you know, for the iPad when the iPad first came out. And I said, really, you're going to pay a couple of bucks a month for movies on your iPad? Who would watch a movie on an iPad? Says the person now addicted to this, you know. But anyways,
yeah. And you're right. And it's also it was inevitable that after subscriptions, became the freemium and premium model. It's like you pay for this one subscription. As a Google TV user, it's really funny. We pay our monthly subscription.
Yeah.
And we're going on vacation next month.
Yeah.
And my wife wanted to be able to download.
Footage.
And seems ironically, you can't download unless you get their 4K plus package. Which gives you some 4K programming.
Yeah.
But the ability to download in an unlimited number of streams as long as it's on your home.
And
Wi-Fi.
Didn't Google just jack up the price tremendously for Google TV? Like double it or something?
No, but it definitely wasn't double, but they just did an increase. It's still for what we watch. If I try to do it on any other, see, by the time I package and add up, we've now reached peak cable with streaming television.
Oh, I hear you.
It's becoming a very similar where there's so much bundling going on that you you know, you turn around and go, I want this thing, but it's tied to that and then and that. Like, well, it's still, don't get me wrong, it's still a lot more effective than the, you know, and price conscientious than the old equivalencies. But it starts to get a little frustrating when you see the same thing appear again, you know, in all its nasty forms.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting for Microsoft to do that to Windows, you know, so you pay a subscription for Microsoft Windows, but, oh, you want to be able to launch apps in Windows. Well, that'll cost you, you know.
And you can see this in a lot of places. A GM just, you know, announcing that they're dropping Apple Play, CarPlay.
Yeah.
And Android Auto, too. I mean, that doesn't make the headlines so much, but it's both those services. They're going to have their own thing.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you the point behind that is if they control the navigation and entertainment system, it's, you know, $5 a month for the nav. It's $3 a month for listening to the radio. It's, you know, they're going to nickel and dime you. And then, you know, $5 a month for heated seats. And,
right.
You know,
and if you want to be able to drive without, if you want to be able to drive straight, so it doesn't, to get rid of the jitter in your steering wheel, that's going to cost you extra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life is a subscription model. I get it. I don't like it. But moving on. So Google I.O., I guess the big deal was, literally big deal, big price, was Google Pixel Fold, $1,799 U.S. dollars. No, not for me.
In their defense, that's not higher than anybody else is charging for that kind of foldable device. So.
Yeah. Well, my thoughts on it were, so $1,799, and if you pre-order it, you get a Pixel Watch with it.
Yeah.
Now, and if you think about it, if this is your tablet, phone, and watch, and you can get as good an experience as an iPhone, an iPad, and an Apple Watch, mm-hmm. then that's not that bad of a deal.
But I guess
a mediocre experience that is not exactly an iPhone, an iPad, and an Apple Watch, then you're going to feel like you might have been a little ripped off.
I think maybe compare it to a Galaxy Fold, a Galaxy Watch, and something rather than
Galaxy Buds.
Because it's a very, you know, iPhone and Android, it's a different experience to start with. So it's kind of
it doesn't have decks,
but
right?
I will tell you one thing that's kind of interesting is I put it in the cart just to see what I could do with it.
Okay.
And the watch, the free watch they're giving you, you can upgrade that to the $399 watch with LTE.
Oh.
And it was still free. It was still free. So
interesting.
If that's what you're looking for. So you can actually get the $400 watch with that.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. It does the value of the bundle and then factor in. Although I didn't notice, and it's going to segue into something we're going to talk about. Did anybody notice if doing a trade-in breaks the free Pixel Watch or not?
Oh, okay. So
I did not try that.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if the trade-in might negate the watch part. I don't know. I don't know.
I should note that
I'm not any of the Fold fans at this point. And I think, ironically, part of the reason why I'm not is you've now got something that's not really a tablet in terms of size. Yes, it's definitely bigger, but it's not a tablet. And if you're going to do the Fold kind of functionality, I almost think, and I wish to a certain extent, that somebody would look at doing it similar to what, it doesn't have to be Microsoft doing it, but what Microsoft did with twin screen capabilities with the Duo, so you could, if you open it up, at least you give me the benefit of two separate screens that I could do certain functions with, you know, if I'm out and about. I think it's not quite a tablet when you open it up with any of these. To me, that doesn't provide me the value.
Yeah, that's
at the videos that they put out for the Google Fold, though, when you do open it up, it's got a very, very simple gesture to switch that into two app windows.
Oh,
but
it looked like they're taking it very much of what they did to the Duo.
Yeah,
I have the Duo 1 and 2.
The thing
and
is, though,
the difference is the Duo opens up, assuming it's two different apps.
Yeah,
right. That, and, that, opens up, assuming it's one.
The thing, though,
it's very easy to change.
The thing, though, is that Android tablet experience is horrible right now.
I mean, so far.
I haven't tried the Pixel tablet, but and I don't think I will. But I might. But at any rate,
I'll let you know.
Oh, good, great, good. But I just, you know, if I had a folding iPhone that were as good as, say, my iPad mini in terms of overall experience, that would be a win. But if you tell me that if you give me an Android tablet experience, that's not a win, because that's not a good experience in my experience, you know, having had a Nexus 7, Galaxy Tab 8, and other stuff that I've tried. Although I'm still curious, you know, I'm still thinking about the Google tablet. I'm waiting for Swen to get his, I guess. We can talk about that pretty soon.
I'll be in about a month, I guess.
Yeah. And the other thing about speaking of trade-ins, so I'm jumping the gun a little, but yeah, you know, I didn't buy a Fold, but I did buy a 7A because I have a 4A now. And so it's a big jump for me. You know, people thought, oh, is it worth it upgrading? If you've got a 4A, I think so.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah.
I think that's a yes, emphatically, you know. Yeah. But at any rate, so I tried to trade in my 4A, which is, you know, among the accepted models. And day one, Google I.O. day, they said, oh, we'll give you $66. But I just couldn't order anything. It just would fail every time I tried to, you know, get to the end of the cart. On the second day, the trade-in dropped from $66 to $49. This is, you know, one day after Google I.O. And I said, I removed it from the cart, the trade-in, and all of a sudden I could buy it. So it literally broke the cart for me. It says, can't, you know, do whatever. And I had to buy it without the thing. Now, I should note that if you buy a Google Pixel 7a brand new or new, you know, or, you know, without service or with or a new Google Fi user or additional, you get the free Pixel Buds A, I think, which is older wireless generation. But if you're going to transfer a number, you don't get that. You just get the phone. But what you do get is you get $250 of credit spread over 24 months if you stay on Google Fi for 24 months. So basically, I'm getting it for $250, you know, over time. So I think that's a good deal.
If you look far enough down on your sheet there, I did a little looking on the 7A just because I wondered. Right now, both AT&T and T-Mobile have fairly decent deals, and that's for a lot of people. If you're already set in one of those, you know, carriers, and take a look and see what they're offering, because AT&T has got it with no trading. It's $2 a month, and the way they work that is it's 3 years worth of credits each month.
Yeah.
So you just have. I mean, we gotten rid of contracts a long time ago.
Right.
Now it's forced financing.
Right.
But if you're going to keep AT&T for 3 years, you know, it's $2. You wind up paying $2 a month for this phone, plus the service you're going to buy anyway.
Right.
T-Mobile has got it free with a new line. So if you get a new service on it, it's the thing's completely free. And they've got a $500 trade-in allowance for a whole lot of different products that you could trade in. So take a look at if you get service somewhere, you like your service, you want to stay with it, you want a 7A, take a look and see what they offer.
Yeah, and again, Google Fi
gets some fairly decent deals.
$250 of credit spread over 24 months. I think that comes out to a little over $10 a month credit.
Which is about half what Fi costs you.
Yep. Yeah, so I think I'll end up paying, I think the net is I'll end up paying like 10 something a month for my phone for 24 months. And I'm not going to move from Fi, so perfectly happy with the service. Okay, so nobody's buying the Fold, I'm taking it. Although, as John pointed out, it's not as bad as if you want to go all in on the Android ecosystem.
I think the only way we'll have an idea or not is when the first real world reviews come out. Because like I said, if you're a piecemeal person now, where maybe you're at multiple ecosystems, you might find that you get everything you need out of a Pixel Fold, Pixel Watch, and a Chromebook or something like that. You might be very happy with that setup. But I think it's to be seen if Pixel tablet, if the adjustments they've made for the software actually give a better tablet experience on Android, or if we're just going to have a broken experience like we've had in the past.
Yeah. And speaking of the tablet,
thinking a lot about it with all the fold type things coming out there.
Yeah.
You almost need to have a tablet experience on those.
Yeah. By the way, the one thing I can't remember whose review I saw of the fold, but the person reviewing it said that when you unfold the device, it's not perfectly flat like other folding devices. So I don't know if that's to remove the visual crease or what, but apparently it's not, you know, it doesn't lay out to 180 degrees.
The ones I've seen is as if you push it really hard and you might be hesitant to do that, it will go all the way flat.
Will it?
They just have a very stiff hinge on it. and if you put it on a table and try to push it that way, there's the camera bump keeping it from going flat anyway. So
and again, you know, I've never used a folding device. So I don't know if that's bad or nobody cares or whatever, but there's something to consider, I guess. Okay,
you know, it's funny though.
Go ahead.
I would be interested from a folding would be a flip versus the full unfolding. The idea of a small form factor that you then open up and it regular form, that to me is more intriguing than to try and go bigger, you know, with something. And it's funny because you're now seeing the, who is it that's Motorola, their new Razr, supposedly
that
the top, when it's club, was the top screen is supposed to be something to behold, which is kind of nice. They usually give you a small footprint of information and then you open up. So I'll be curious to see when that comes to fruition, what that looks.
I had a Razr Fold for a while, and it was, they've made the screen bigger now, but it was about half the size of the folded thing when I had mine. And it was okay. You could see stuff. It was like a large watch, screen. So
we had
tell what was going on.
We had
sent it off to a granddaughter and said, "Here."
Yeah, we had back in the day. This is 15 years ago. We had some Windows Mobile smartphones that had a watch size. The Motorola, I think, one of the Motorolas had a small screen, which I thought very useful personally.
HTC had what was it? It was almost like they called it the track. It was supposed to be because it was sort of like the communicator Star Trek.
Yeah.
I think I still have that in my museum box someplace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was a cool little thing. You could actually set that one to do a tone when you opened it.
Yep.
Of course, the communicator tone is what everybody
does. Yeah.
You put in your seats and thing here for the trade-ins, and you're right. The Google is paying a lot for, if you're buying Pixel Fold, paying a lot for various things, but they seem to be very concerned about Apple, because for an iPhone 14 Pro Max, they'll give you $950 for the thing, you know, which is, you know, I don't think they're going to get a lot of iPhone users.
No.
iPhone users that have a 14 Pro Max are not looking to switch to Android.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, I don't know that dig that they made at I.O. about RCS. Wouldn't it be great if everyone's working at RCS? Isn't that just going to convert all the iMessage blue bubbles over? You know?
Don't get me started on that.
These green bubble people. Green bubble people. And of course, Android is great.
I compare to Best Buy. Just if you take an iPhone 14 Pro Max, you get $650. Yeah. You just take it down to Best Buy and trade it in.
So, okay.
You can buy anything with that.
Moving on to the Google Pixel tablet, which Swen apparently has ordered, this is the one thing I thought I was going to buy. So I'm really curious to hear from Swen when you get it. Did he have a shipping date yet for that?
I think it was about a month.
Okay.
Yeah, somewhere.
So it's $499 for the base model, 128 gigabytes of storage, and the speaker dock. But, you know, including speaker, but when I look at the specs, I don't see any stylus support at all. USI.
Yeah, I didn't see that either.
EMR.
And I'm not sure I care, but.
Yeah, well, yeah, for me, it's kind of critical.
Yeah,
for my hobby.
Yeah, this type, you know.
Yeah, but I.
One thing to think about is they also mentioned, it wasn't real clear that the dock will come out separately as a purchase. You can buy it so you can put docks all over the house.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's $129,
right?
And they're really
for a second one.
I'm not so concerned about the stylus, but it's irritating that the speaker dock is not a Google Nest of any sort. Does absolutely nothing if you don't have to have one. And that seems like that. And that's my
my. my dog go off. We talked about it too much.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, that happens to me all the time. They're very, well, you know, they are our new overlords. So what are you going to do? The reason I was interested, or I am interested, in the Google tablet, by the way, is that, you know, one of the things Google did was that they announced stopping support for third-party smart assistants, like my Lenovo Smart Display, which I think is a great device. It was like $220 when I got it. It's a 10-inch screen, and it's a pretty decent speaker. It's a great device. It's really handy to have around. They have been removing features from it, like you can no longer get a web browser view of things. I mean, you could never use it as a pure web browser, but you could always, you know, look at stuff based on a search. And that stopped. And now they're going to, I'm not sure if the service is just going to die, like my beloved Spot Watch, or, you know, it's going to continue to work, but in a degraded mode. But I was thinking about getting a Google tablet, a Pixel tablet, to replace it. But at $500 for something that without stylus support, or, you know, I guess Sven can tell me.
I'll be curious to see if this impacts up pricing at all, because there have been times where as long as you don't want the giant screen up, the smaller one, especially around the holidays, there's usually great deals. Up 100, and that's how I ended up with mine. It was a holiday sale, and I thought, okay, now I can use it with all the services that I have and everything. It seemed like a good fit. Curious to see how that might impact with this being the high end. Although, as high as the price is, maybe they figure this segments the other ones as the cheaper alternatives. If you're looking principle of,
well, the 500 is not bad. You know, it's, if it were 1,000, that'd be like ridiculous. But 500 with one speaker dock is, I think, reasonable. It just doesn't do. It may not do what I want, and so I'm gonna wait for Sven to tell me if it does or not when he gets his.
Well, when I realized that it's $1,799 for a phone, I just ordered a new 16-gigabyte laptop, 16-gig laptop with 256-gig hard drive and a touch screen for my wife. And with discounts, I bought three of those.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, but, you know, the phone is very, very handy. You know, it's, but still, it's out of my price range for sure. And it's okay, right? It's one of those anchor products, right? It's the aspirational product that we wish we could afford, but most people don't. And you go, well, the next thing down is probably okay, and we'll buy that. Which is also overpriced, but not relatively, not as much. But the tablet, I am very, 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 very curious about that. Yeah, especially if it supports a US. Do you have a USI stylus, Sven, to test with?
Yeah, I do. I have my old Pixelbook, and I got the stylus with it. So.
Oh, okay. So you'll be able to tell me.
I would be able to tell you that.
Okay, awesome. I will look forward to that. In the meantime, with WWDC coming up, it's unlikely they will announce a competitive product, and not so much an iPad, but maybe, you know, a docking station or something. But I'll wait for that, or maybe a new whatever they call their home device, maybe with a screen.
We don't have a home device with a screen.
That's what I mean. That's when they might announce
point,
it.
Yeah.
If they announce it,
I don't know what they were going to do.
I was just
looking at some numbers. Yeah. The Hub Max, the Nest Hub Max, is $229 so far. I mean, it's quite a big. A big jump from, you know. Yeah. So if you think the dock is $129, that's $370 for the tablet alone, if they sold it that way.
Right.
That's kind of. It'd be kind of interesting to see if they sold the tablet alone, if they'd sell any docks at all.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of people will be pretty happy just charge it with, whatever it is they got, a USB-C cable or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're hoping that what you were talking about. They're bundling it with one dock, hoping that you go out and buy different docks around that.
And I absolutely would if the thing did anything but charge the tablet.
If it were a Nest.
I mean,
if it were a Hub Nest. Yeah.
Or just a Google Dot or whatever that things are. But if you had one in the room, you could just still talk to it.
Yeah. Speaking of, I think
for $129, it should.
I think Don mentioned Echo Show, or somebody mentioned Echo Show. And My Echo Show 5 is going bad. It's starting to flicker. And so, it was, I got it on sale. So, I don't feel too bad about it. I think it's under $100. Like,
mine came with a Fire TV.
Really? That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I noticed the Echo Show 8 was on sale. Might not be now, but was on sale for like $80. I almost ordered one. I thought, you know what? I'll wait for the Google tablet. Saw the Google tablet. Maybe I should order the Show 8 on sale. But now I'm going to wait for whatever Apple announces in June. It's flickering. It's flickering. I can watch it, the Echo Show 5 flickering behind me right now, but it's still functional otherwise from audio point of view. Also, I'd like, if I buy another Echo Show, I'd like one that's a Eero mesh extender, like the Echo Dots are, which is, kind of a nice feature. Now that I've finally gotten my Amazon Eero to actually work, having sat in a box for 2 years. But so Google Pixel tablet, and I'll wait for what Swin has. And by then, we may see WWDC announcements for something competitive. So, all right. And not exactly finally, but next was the Google Pixel 7a, which I actually did. I didn't expect to buy a new Pixel, but I looked at it and I go, only 120 gigs of storage. But then I said, you know what? I'm going to bite the bullet and not store photos locally on my phone anymore. So that'll take care of that, that space issue. And so I experimented on that with an old Google Pixel 3a to see if that, I'm happy with that experience. And maybe happy isn't the operative word, but it's okay. And like,
one of the reasons I bought the tablet is pictures is, Google does so much with the editors and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That if I take something with my Pixel, because I got a Pixel 7 or something here,
right.
I can go over to the tablet and edit that picture at a decent size or do something with it rather than trying to do magic eraser on the phone. Stuff like that. So that's, I would add a stylus, that'd be even better.
Yeah,
I didn't say anything, so I don't expect it.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you get the 128 gig storage or 256?
I just got the 128.
Yeah.
Yeah. All my toys are always at the lowest end.
Oh, really? I always go for mid-range at 256 for Apple stuff.
Well, I go higher on the Apple. That's my main phone. But
yeah, same.
But on the stuff that I'm just playing with, I'm just,
Yeah. Well, as I said, I had to remove my trade-in for my 4A. Which, at the second day, $49 is not much of a trade-in, but, what the heck. I'm a retiree, so I'm counting my nickels and dimes these days. But any case, so that's supposed to arrive on this week. So I'll be able to talk about that. I'm really excited because, when you move from, I've been looking at a lot of reviews from, the technology pundits on YouTube and so forth. And they're all, grinding their teeth and wiping their brow and going, well, this. And I go, dude, not everybody gets a new phone every year. And so if you are moving from a 4A to 7A, this is like a revolutionary jump for me. Just in cameras and, I don't have a Tensor chip in my 4A and all kinds of stuff. I literally cannot. Also, I'm not going to get upgrades. I'm not getting Android updates on my 4A after, I think, the last one. So it's out of support. So it was time. Oh, and also the 7A has 5 years of updates, I think. I think it's 3 years of upgrades and 5 years for security updates. So it might be my last Android phone.
Yeah, and I just took it.
Are you not telling me something, Todd?
Might be dead.
Yeah, 5 years out and about to go, like,
gone.
Later, I'll be it.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of like my next car is only my last car. But
5 years from now, you'll just get an
all those dead Swedes that he's been finding. He's really worried about, potentially himself following suit. So.
Yeah, well, it's going to happen someday. But but with 5 year support, I'm pretty happy with that. Especially since when I brought the first Nexus, I think it only had like 18 months or 24 months of support, and then it was like out of luck, fella, go buy a new one. So, I was not really happy with the Android experience in terms of updates. Oh, and the Motorola, remember the Motorola Droid, the first really popular Android phone? Not the first phone, but the first popular Android phone. That only had 18 months of support.
Well, and keep in mind, too, that never mind Motorola, you still had that same awful if you bought it from a carrier, you were dealing with the carrier supply chain, where yes. Google would then down to Motorola. Motorola would test, then pass down to the right. to the carrier.
And the carrier would test.
While they turned around and went, why did you get a new phone?
Yeah.
Get the it, days. And Windows, we went through the same thing.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is an Android thing or a Verizon thing, but so at the time I had a well, the only place you could buy a Droid was from Verizon. You remember those, that $100 million ad campaign, whatever they had. So I bought one from Verizon, and I don't know if it's Verizon's inherent compression or it's something with that early motor, that first generation Motorola Moto Droid. But the sound quality was so bad, my mom commented, and my mom doesn't comment on this kind of stuff. But whenever I called her on the Droid, she'd say, you know, you sound funny. Your voice sounds, you know, this way and that way. And I go, really? I said, let me switch phones. So I switched my iPhone or something. Goes, oh, yeah, sound fine. And I haven't stepped 1 foot away from where I was standing. Different network, different phone. But basically, the Droid was my last Verizon phone because it's, you know, my mom complained, basically. Appropriate on Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's
Day. Yeah. Okay, so I think I can live with that. I'm really looking forward to some of the features. I think I'm going to go test some of the video stuff. I'm really curious how much cropping they do on, the 64 megapixel image is not an image that you can actually use. I think the biggest you can get is like 16.1, which is fine. You know, that's plenty big. In fact, it's too big to store an original size in Google Photos, I think. But I'm really looking forward to seeing what those photos look like compared to my, you know, iPhone 14 Pro and other stuff I have. Maybe even take a point and shoot out with me. And some of the AI features, which I guess we'll talk about soon, that are going to be rolled out to the phone. Okay, now speaking of AI features, Google Bard.
AI.
You know?
Did you catch that, Google I.O.? That was their whole big thing about responsible AI.
Oh, yeah.
I find to be the most incredibly vague and rather hysterical, knowing the nature of how AI is evolving at this point.
Microsoft is doing the same thing with their Copilot. Didn't they just lay off their entire ethics department, AI ethics team or something? And yeah, I don't know. But anyway.
It's really funny. I keep on saying the same thing over and over and over again. Even under the best of circumstances, when you are trying to use learning with artificial intelligence, under the best, most noble of circumstances, if you feed it even slightly off information, then you're crossing your fingers that what it learns is not the wrong thing. And I think we're seeing that right now.
Well,
I think
are people all that different?
It has to be how they source, how you curate this knowledge.
Well, you know, one of the things that I commented on LinkedIn or medium.com or somewhere is, so the AI gurus are calling this hallucinations, right? They're calling this LLM hallucinate, which John, and you know, I know you're not a clinician, John, but as a psychologist, I think you had the same reaction I had. Is that's not a hallucination? That's garbage in, garbage out.
Well, there was a great example earlier in the year. John Oliver did a whole episode of Last Week Tonight on artificial intelligence, and talking about the most noble and what can happen, he gave the example of some researchers that were trying to use AI to look at images of skin issues to identify malignancies.
Ah, yeah.
And they sped it thousands upon thousands of photos. And when they started to try to use it, they discovered a trend. And the trend was that anything with a ruler in it was coming back as, this is malignant. Shepard was, because they hadn't thought this through, almost all of the images that were malignant included a ruler to measure, whereas just normal, far less of the time did they have it. So the engine learned appropriately. It learned and made the jump in logic that said, if I see a ruler here, the odds are this is malignant. And it shows that, you know, this is still going to have to, I mean, like everything else, there are people that are jumping on. We're five days away from sentient, you know, but this has still got a long way to go. And the biggest thing that I find troubling is people's faith in this, thanks to the marketing of it, when in fact what it's learning from is still kind of sketchy.
Well, you know,
figured out how to teach properly.
It's funny you say that, because as John mentioned, you know, my Swedish death cleaning endeavors for the last, 5 months. One of the things I've been doing is, you know, finding old junk lying around my house and getting rid of it. And what I found a giant stack of magazines from the 1980s and 1990s. It's called AI Expert. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It was pretty close to layperson's magazine about artificial intelligence. This is, you know, the premier issue is 1986. And I was dabbling in that in grad school at the time. So I bought this and a whole bunch of other stuff. So anyway, in 1986, I grabbed the premier issue, and the op-ed is titled "The AI Explosion: A Response to National Priorities." You could write that today.
Yeah. And although somebody was talking the other day about how they were using this to generate code. A friend of mine was on this down to generate code, and I said, "Are you then looking at the code objectively as a developer who's experienced?"
Yeah.
And the reason why it all depends on where it's learning from. If heaven help us, if ChatGPT or anything from OpenAI or Bard is learning from Stack Overflow, you're probably going to have 1 in 10 will be decent code, and the other 9 will be spaghetti. I think the estimation of how quickly it will be responsible and trustworthy is greatly exaggerated at this point, just because there's so much to curate about what these models are learning.
Right. You know, well, you know,
not to mention, look at who's saying it's trustworthy and responsible. Yeah.
You know, I remember years ago, I remember hearing a quote in jest that the definition of psychology was the study of university freshmen. And, you know, if they're using, say, code from introductory to programming classes, because there must be a lot of samples of that, right? That would be hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. And trust me, as a son who is a freshman and with major in computer science, it was amazing. I touched Java code for the first time in like well over a decade. True, yeah. Java code.
Yeah, and that hurt.
Be going, well, this is their teacher. Sure.
Oh, granted. Oh, I want to read you another quote from this 1986 article in AI Expert. This actually, it's an op-ed, and again, you know, this is 1986, and the one of the sentences: "No one would deny today the phenomenal interest AI has generated outside of its own once small community. You know, a wider forum in which to critically assess knowledge-based technologies needed and welcome." This is 1986, you know, and I think we're still saying the same thing today.
And you've seen the number of people that have been cited for things, including exact quotes that it turned out the quotes were made up by the engine. We're ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
John, I'm waiting.
Yeah. You know, I launched a Bing chat creator while we were talking, and it started writing this, and then it killed it because apparently it got too real. I do love that about, you know, when it's really, scared of what it's creating, and all of a sudden it's just like, no, well, I'm not going any further with this. It's bad, and I don't like it.
So it's ethical than you and I, because you know how that would have turned out if it was.
Yeah, well, the prompt for those that are listening was write a sarcastic satire news article about a man named Don Sorcinelli hosting a neighborhood cookout where the Cobra Commander crashed the party by bringing a mediocre bean dip. Yeah, It did it again, where it started writing in and then it killed itself. But I did get some of its output this time before it was able to, say, let's not do this one anymore. So I will at least put that in the chat. The first one had a great quote where it was that bean dip was a weapon of mass destruction. said Sorcinelli or something like that. So there are good uses for AI that are not take over the world and destroy, but apparently Microsoft does not want us to be using those uses.
I kind of wonder if Microsoft knows after all these years, John. Wait, it's something from John Westfall, and it includes Don Sorcinelli's name.
it definitely has started to notice that. So I put a little bit of what I got out of it before it killed itself again. So it is also very interesting how AI, as it is figuring things out, go, nope, this is not what I want.
Oh yeah, I've asked it a bunch of stuff that it rejected or really thought about. In fact, one I thought was pretty innocuous. I asked it to generate a web banner featuring an elderly Asian man and a Caucasian white man discussing mobile technology, and it threw up a flag. Oh, we need to review this.
Yeah.
Again, it's got nothing to do with they know you, Todd. They know you, John.
Well, I think some former Foursquare programmers over at Microsoft now, they see Don or Eric or, any of your...
They're still holding a grudge.
They're digital felons.
I'm going to try it again. I won't put Don's actual name in. We'll see what happens. Don, you are now Chuck Smith. That seems to be, innocuous enough. But we'll see if it's okay with that one. Because I'm quite curious what in my prompt seems innocuous enough, so I'm kind of curious what it is mad about, what it does not like in that prompt.
I mean, I think at this point, this is the fun part of it all, is to see where it goes and how it thinks, but
how we can make it.
It's going to replace people, and if it does, I fear for the organizations that try to simply replace people by using this type of technology at this point, because they're probably going to end up needing more resources to curate the output today.
Yeah.
To say that we won't get better. My hope is, like I said, it's all about the curation and what it learns and how it learns. Just don't turn open any loose greater interest.
I think like all technology going back to the fire and the wheel, people's activities get displaced by new technology, right? I mean, we all went through that in our careers.
And I agree. When it gets to that point, it probably shifts. Like I said, the role of, it's funny, the role of the software developer, what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
The role of the software developer changes. I can remember standing up at a conference in the 1990s to speak to a room full of programmers talking about the evolution of integrated development environments, fourth generation languages, and how they needed to start to look at their role in terms of being a consultant or an analyst and not just a coder locked in a closet, which for a lot of them in the 90s was still that way. They were locked in a closet, they'd fling code. And I said, your role is going to change as these tools make you more efficient.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a lot of people's faces going pale.
I got to tell you, when I saw the first IDEs, I was like, oh, these are fun little toys. But you know what? All I really need is VI and Lint, and I'm kind of good.
Well, it looks like John's story actually came to a conclusion this time,
yeah.
Which makes you wonder, is Microsoft really got Sorcinelli flagged? Or...
I think so.
I really do.
Or is it just anything that sounds marginally ethnic, like Asian, Asian male?
Yeah.
He was part of a software demo that was the sample application was a fictitious ticket scalping app, and that code was released afterward. So it's somebody who's been on a watch list.
All right. Well, moving on. So So the other stuff that I'm really kind of interested in, I'm also worried about is Google Magic Editor, Google Photos Magic Editor. And I've already got Magic Eraser.
Photoshop.
And it's pretty good. Yeah. It's like repair and heal and all of that. But now people are going to literally, this is like science fiction stuff almost, you know, where you modify people's memories, or at least their visual memory. I go, hey, wasn't so-and-so in this photo? Oh, yeah, they got divorced. We removed him.
You know? Used to just take a pair of scissors.
The Black Mirror episode.
Yeah. So I find it both intriguing and interesting, and I'm, you know, and also I kind of worry that now we're going to have millions and billions of photos that do not reflect the world as it was, which might be good because the world is not so good, but... Okay. The other thing I wanted to I mentioned just briefly is I did get a preview access to Google Music LM, you know, their music language model, and it really should be Muzak, Google Muzak LM, because and even when they tell you what it can generate, really, even they're saying it's Muzak, you know, so it's background music. I tried a couple. It, by the way, it does not have an idea of what bossa nova is, which is very disappointing. It generated kind of a generic Latin beat, which was, you know, okay, but not bossa nova. So that was kind of interesting, and I can ship you guys some of those audio files here for your later amusement. But the thing I'm really wondering about is the, what is it called, Duet AI for Google Cloud, because it looks like this is their Microsoft Copilot response, but it looks like you need to be a Workspace paying customer. Not the free Workspace that, you know, Google Consumer Google Mail is in. So I'm not sure I'm ever going to get a chance to play with it. So,
I saw this, but then there were so many things that came out from it.
Yeah.
Did they, what level of Workspace, or is it?
They did not.
To be curious.
Yeah, but it really does look like it needs a commercial account.
Well, yeah, Workspace, yeah. They're different levels, similar to Microsoft with their life.
Well, there's free too. You know, when you fire up Gmail now, it says Gmail and Workspace or something like that. So,
I know. It's
the consumer unpaid version. So, you know, yeah. What you gonna do? Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and I'm not poo-pooing you. I'm just saying I don't know.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm curious to see if they attach a level the commercial, the enterprise Workspace product.
I will say that they are extending their paid features to pretty reasonable levels, like Magic Eraser and Google VPN. Even if you don't have a Pixel phone, you have access to those if you pay $20 a year for Google One.
Yeah.
You know, which also gets you 100 gigabytes of additional Google Drive storage. So I think that's pretty reasonable.
And it gets you 10% back than anything you buy from the store. So I'm getting $49 back from my tablet purchase.
Hey, but you know what? When I bought my Pixel, I did not buy it through the store. I bought it through the Google Fi. And so I don't think it gave me that, but oh well. Plus, because Google Fi used to destroy Google Voice in the old days, it no longer does. I had to create a second account. So it's on a different account from my Google One subscription account, so I wouldn't have gotten that anyway. But that's okay. You know, I wanted to preserve Google Voice, which is still around, still useful.
Yeah, the last thing at I/O that I looked at with kind of interest is the Find My Device stuff that they're changing.
Yeah,
you know, up to I'm an Apple user, so Find My without anything behind it is
right.
You know, is something we use quite a bit. But the great thing about it is everybody with an iPhone is part of that network, so that's why it works so well. You know, whether it's an AirTag or whatever, it gets near anybody with an iPhone phone, which is 50% of the U.S.
Right.
It, you know, it sees it. It looks like Google is doing the same thing. They're adding that network into Android, the operating system, not just Pixel phones. So everybody with an Android will be part of this network, and you can be able to find stuff.
Right.
Which is pretty nice.
And doesn't it include the Tile stuff too? I mean, I think it will.
I think, you know, it's the same thing with Apple has licensed Find My to a lot of people, and I have a Pebble Bee credit card looking thing that's part of the Find My network that, you know, for tracking stuff. But Yeah, the other thing, it says, you know, they said they're collaborating with Apple on stocking protection.
Yes, I did read about that.
So that's kind of neat, too, that, you know, you don't have to go buy, get a different app for your Android phone to see if an AirTag is stalking you. So they're going to, so that's a
hopefully
good
I'll fix that. Yeah, definitely a good thing.
At least you may not be able to use your Android phone to find your iPhone, but at least you'll know if there's a tag tracking you.
Right.
Based track. Tag tracking.
And if you try to find an iPhone with your Android phone, Google might, you know, send a black ops team after you anyway. So. But yeah, this was probably one of the richest Google IOs I've seen in a long time in terms of interesting stuff, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's been the last couple of years, it's been late on the product, or it's been, yeah, see if next year for the product.
Right, right.
Or it's been, and it's been conversely, you know, has been heavily developer focused and IT focused.
Well, there was a separate developer keynote too.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean though. You sit there and wait for the product announcements and you went, oh, this went by and we're on to the developer stuff.
Right, right, right.
We're on to the IT side. But yeah, this year, I think you're right. I think this year they brought a lot to the table than product-wise, far more product-wise than they had in the last couple.
Some of it does seem too far in the future. Some of the AI stuff, it seems like they're really far behind other folks.
Well,
but
at first Bard demo, we realized that they got some catching up to do.
Yeah. And of course, speaking behind, you know, poor old Apple's, you know, S-word person. Oh my gosh. They are so, so far behind. Considering they're the first, you know, assistant that I can remember that was widely available, it's kind of sad. Predates, you know, the A-word, Amazon A-word.
Here's something about that, though, at WWDC.
I hope so. I'm hoping
Snaptal had assistance way long before that. You know, a little dog that popped up and thought you were going to try to write an email.
And you remember Microsoft bought Telme back when we used to, answering services and things, and it would answer things for you on the phone, like what the stock market and weather is. It's kind of quaint when you think about it now. But
that reminds me of what was the name of their product? It wasn't voice server, but it was something similar. It was there for IBR. I actually presented it at a Microsoft.
That was Telme. I think that was Microsoft Telme.
That was their Telme, but it became Microsoft something server. It was one of their server that was focused on IBR capabilities. You could program to it using .NET languages and all kinds of fun stuff to build IBR systems. But yeah, that brings back some memories.
All right. Yeah. Well. With that, I will, we're coming up to an hour, so I'm going to thank everybody, and thank you, Don, thank you, Sven, and of course, thank you, John, as usual, and we'll talk to you next time.